Good evening. Welcome to our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service here at Christ Central Church. We are delighted you could join us this evening. I see a number of new faces. Perhaps you have some loved ones in town to celebrate the Christmas season with you. And we are glad that you are all here and for this special time and special service each year. I want to give a little bit of instruction, first of all, before we begin. Whenever we light the candles for the candlelight portion of the service, Nick and I will come down the center aisle and light the candles for those on the edge of the rows. And if you would, whenever you light your candle, take the unlit candle and light it from the lit candle and not reverse, because that way we get a lot of wax on the floor and a big mess to clean up. So if you just follow that instruction all the way down, and as you light your candles, and then when we're done at the end of the service, you can drop your candles off in the bin just outside of the narthex. Also, we do have church tomorrow. Somebody asked me, we're going to worship and have church tomorrow? It's Christmas. I said, well, where else would you be on a Sunday morning on Christmas Day? Yes, we are going to have worship tomorrow. So if you don't have a place to go and worship the triune God, then please come and join us at 11 a.m. We'd be delighted to have you with us tomorrow morning. And now at this time, the Wah family is going to come and light the Christ candle for us.
The fifth candle is Christ's candle. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, was born.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made.
In him was life, and that light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light.
The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather once again and worship you in spirit and truth, especially, Lord, on this Christmas Eve, as we look forward to celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, both tonight and tomorrow morning. Father, we pray that your Spirit would be with us and that, Lord, you would enable us to worship you as we ought. We pray, Lord, that all of us would sense your presence with us this evening in a very special way. And so, Lord, we humbly invoke your blessing upon this worship service. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Christmas story. Part 1, the Annunciation to Mary, Luke 1, 26-38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age and also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing shall be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 196, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you. Jesus also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn.
Thank you.
there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those who he is pleased." When the angels went away from there into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Let's call our hymns once again and turn to number 207. Good Christian Men Rejoice. Let's stand together as we sing. Part 4, Jesus presented at the temple, Luke 2, 21-35. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb first shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's cross. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Christmas, brothers and sisters, this year's Christmas meditation will be in Luke 2:25-32. That is a portion of the fourth reading that we just read. So if you have your Bibles, please open there. Let me open us with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light, Jesus Christ. Continue now through the proclamation of your word to feed us, that we who have known the mystery of that light on earth may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the whole world is seeking to be comforted. And it's easy to understand why. In part,
It's because there's so much we can be stupid of. There are countless evils that may befall us in life. People may slander you, physically harm you and your family. You may get unjustly fired from the job. You can lose a loved one. You can get into a life-threatening accident and be diagnosed with a life-threatening disease. But no matter what it is, we know that the danger that is in the world, we face it every single day. But there's not just danger from without, outside of us. There's also danger that exists in us. We are often harmful to ourselves, aren't we? We remember all the times we have blown it. We know our faults and all the ways we get in our own way. We know how easily we mess everything up by our sin. And we often fear our own inabilities and weaknesses. We remember all the ways our sin has negatively impacted our own bodies. And so our hearts are seeking comfort because of all the ways this first fallen world has brought us discomfort from within and from without. And I don't care how tough you are, or think you are. I don't care how you were raised. I don't care how good your ability to man up is. Regardless, in the face of sin, misery, and death, your heart longs for a comforting Savior. So this is what we're seeing in our text tonight. The answer for this need, we'll see this, that because Christ is the comfort of the world, we must be utterly consoled. So briefly, I want to leave you with three takeaways this evening. First, Christ is our comfort since he came to save us from our sin. Notice this devout man's sin, who intimately knew the scriptures, could not wait to look upon him who was his salvation. Simeon takes Jesus up in his arms, praising God for beholding the Lord who is his salvation. Salvation from what? It's a good question, however. In part, salvation from sin, or the wrath of God that is given to our sin. In verses 30 through 32, Simeon is alluding to multiple texts in Isaiah, where Isaiah makes clear that the reason the Lord will say, "I will remember your sins no more," is because one is coming who will bear the sins of many. As Matthew says, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And so Simeon sees the one who will put away sin once and for all, and he is utterly consoled. For this is the Messiah, our forgiveness, our rest, our comfort. For in him is the forgiveness of sins. And so why should we be comforted like Simeon? Because the declaration, "Your sins are forgiven," can only be true because this Christ, Jesus, came into the world to die and save sinners like us. And so Christ is our comfort because he came to take away our sin. Christ is also our comfort since he saves us from the fear of death and ultimately death itself. Notice that Simeon, having seen the salvation, Jesus the Messiah, he is able to depart in peace. Verse 29. This is the comfort that can only come from the Messiah of the world. Being truly comforted in the face of death is only possible because of this Jesus the Messiah, who, as the author of Hebrews says, became flesh so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. You see, the fear of death is a slavery that only Christ can die in our place to free us from. How marvelous a feeling it must have been for Simeon to hold the baby Jesus in his arms, his Messiah, knowing he's the consolation of Israel and the nations. You see, Simeon saw with his own eyes that everything will be made right since he held the Messiah. And this gave him peace in death. gave him peace in death. John Bunyan once said, "Die well, for you cannot come back and join again. Die well, because you can't come back and try it again." Well, brothers and sisters, friends, place their comfort in no one else but this Jesus, the defeater of death. For there is no hope in dying well, like Simeon. And although you haven't held Jesus in your arms like Simeon got to, surely you have heard the very word of the Lord proclaimed to you, that this Jesus is the comfort of the world, your salvation. So be at peace, no longer fearing death, for in Christ there's no condemnation, but only eternal life. For this Jesus doesn't just save us from the fear of death, but death itself. So Christ is our comfort because he forgives our enemies, and he saves us from the fear of death, and ultimately death itself. But Christ is our comfort also, since he is saving the world, the whole world, Jew and Gentile. In verses 31 and 32, alluding to passages in Isaiah, Simeon is proclaiming that this is the servant, this Jesus, who he's holding in his arms, is the servant who was promised to come and be a light to the Gentiles and to restore the people of Israel. In other words, Simeon is proclaiming that this Jesus is the one who saved all of God's people, the remnant from the Jew and the remnant from the Gentiles. Christ is the salvation of the world. This is what he's saying. He is the one who says to me, and I am making all things new. This is the one who John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world." That is, that Christ is saving an innumerable amount of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And he is eradicating sin from the world and making a new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells and only righteousness. This is the Jesus who will make things right, and this is who Simeon held in his very arms, the one who has defeated sin, death, and the devil. This is who Jesus is, the consolation of the world, the consolation and joy of every human heart. One old Reformed theologian, William Ames, said this about the communion that we have with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. "There is no other good that can offer rest and solid peace to our souls or satisfy the desires of our human nature. Everything else is less satisfying. In contrast, this Holy Communion is said to be the fact and satisfaction of our souls." So ask yourselves this night, do you know him? What do you think of this Christ? You've read the story. You've even sung his praises this evening. Is he your comfort? Is he your salvation? It's vital that we answer this question. For this Christ born on Christmas Day is king, and he will remove his enemies from the world. And my friends, this king has been born. So we ought to submit to him now while there's still time. For he cannot come back. Try again. And if you do, you will find him to be the comforting Savior your heart was always longing for. That longing in your heart that you can't quench is singing a song. You can't understand or hear it until you turn to this King Jesus. But when you do, you realize that all along your heart has been singing these words, "Come, thou long expected Jesus." So rejoice and cry out to him who is the comfort and joy of every human heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our Master, our Redeemer, our comfort, and our joy, our friend, be our comfort, I pray, so that all the other comforts in life pale in comparison. So praise be to you, the one who ascended, was risen from the dead, and intercedes for us now and forevermore. May glory be yours in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. protected his countenance